your boy.
I know them dudes you mess with usually be frontin'. All I gotta do is call his name, he coming. No taxin', all action, what you need from him. He'll provide anything you need, if you just believe. All it takes is faith the size of a mustard seed. And you can reach any goal that you trying to reach. My plug love stretch far away beyond the street. No petty-ish, my plug on that heavy-ish. Think Sosa mixed with Ox off that belly-ish. Yeah, I know you like the sound of that. Been searching around for that, you on my head, trying to see where I found him at. It was early one Sunday morning. I was down on my luck and plenty storms kept forming, just trying to find a way. I prayed to God to see better days. Then he told me that he got me, I'm forever straight. You look around, you need that love.
That love, I gotta have a plug.
Got many blessings and they from him above. Because
I gotta have a plug.
I quit hustling, slanging them drugs. You ask why? No need for bucks, all he need is your trust. For you to praise him when you get back up. Now I've been getting up with God about a year straight. And everything been smooth, yeah, I've been straight. He ain't never told me no, maybe just wait. And he always been on time, he never been late. Sometimes when I be tripping and get impatient, he made me realize I'm winning cause of his greatness. He said his grace and his mercy endure forever. If I repent of all my sins, he'll forgive whatever that I did in my past, knowing it wasn't right. If I turn away from sin, he give me a new life. So I tried him out, it only made sense. Now I'm on the ground for Jesus and I can't quit. The devil want me to fall and yeah, I may slip. But God wrap his arms around me so I can't trip. Now when I go out in the world, his blessings are with me so I can let my light shine. That's just the God in me and you can be the same way. I had the same faith, but you gotta change. Cause me, I ain't the same Dre. It won't happen overnight or all in one day. But he's able about his children, man, my God don't play. So is you down with it? What you trying to do? You wanna call him up? Well, this is how you do it. Get down on your knees and keep your head to the sky. Make a promise to the world that you gon' serve God.
You look around, you need that love.
That love, I gotta have a plug.
Got many blessings and they from him above. Because
I gotta have a plug.
I quit hustling, slanging them drugs. You ask why? Don't need for bucks, all he need is your trust. For you to praise him when you get back up.
It's your boy, Ariel Jones.
Rejoice and be glad in it. And I am so glad that I can. I'm so glad that I know the God that I serve. And I'm so glad that he loves us so. Amen. Giving honor to Christ. Amen. The Lord God Jehovah. Amen. His blessed Son Jesus. Amen. And the blessed Holy Ghost and the saints. And amen. Pastor O. Amen. Pastor Gerald overall, my producer. Amen. And amen, his lovely wife, amen, and the saints and friends that run up for Christ, and amen, my new friends in Alaska that I just met, praise God, I tell you, God is awesome, amen, and for the new, amen, new in Christ, amen, if you're listening at this particular, amen, I just thank God, he's been blessing mightily, amen, I've been going back out again, and amen, and sharing Jesus, because we're in the last days, amen, and that motivates me. But, I mean, we are in. I'm going to be honest. You know, I am looking for that one last person that's going to get saved before the rapture. So if you're not ready to go, you need to get ready, because when I find him, we gone. I find her, we gone. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Just thanking God, amen, for another blessed day. Let us go before the throne. Hallelujah. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are gracious, that you are loving and that you are merciful and you are long-suffering. We give you all the glory and honor for this day, and we thank you for it right now. We thank you for our minds, our health, and our strength. Hallelujah. We thank you for the revelation of you. Amen. We couldn't know you without you revealing yourself to us. We thank you that you love us that much. Father God, right now, I just thank you, Lord. I ask that you bless us with the intelligence of your wisdom and in the revelation of the knowledge of Jesus Christ. I ask that you bless the eyes of our understanding, that we will better know what is the hope of your calling, what is the riches of your glory, and the inheritance you have in the saints, the great and exceeding power you've made available to those of us who submit and obey you. Father God, we're asking that you bless us with the knowledge of your will and give us the strength and the courage to carry it out so we'll be fruitful in every good work according to you. Father God, we're asking that you bless us to grow in the knowledge of you. I ask that you bless my tongue to be that of a ready writer, to write upon the hearts of your people and even my own. I want it to be all of you and none of me. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, lately, for the last few weeks, I've been sharing about the covenant of God. Amen. And why we have a covenant. It's because God decided to do things that way. One of the things, you know, I remember they had a saying that going around, and they said, God said it, I believe it, that settles it. You know, I find that people struggle with that reality, but it is the reality. I mean, you'll find that God is pragmatic and realistic. And he's given us more than he had to. I know people think they deserve more because they were born into a situation that they knew not of, didn't apply for, but the reality is, you hear, and this is the way it goes. And so we've been sharing how God has been developing this relationship with man. I mean, that was his intent, but understanding, I mean, it was a big revelation when I heard man is a God-class being. You know, sometimes you will see things in the Bible, and you just go past them. But then there comes this time when God will just highlight something, and it changes everything. You see things in another whole light. And all of a sudden, then there are other parts of the scripture you see that now have more light upon them. You know, I see all the changes. Now when I see in the Bible the glory of the Lord and we shall have a glorious body, I see something totally different. I'm not looking at thinking about something that shines that I walk around just on the earth with. I'm talking about the ability to do things beyond our imagination. The very things that people dream about and make movies about. God realized he's going to give us that capability, but he wants us to understand that he is God. And what you find with people that don't want to be under God, they don't have a revelation, and they're God. You know, I recently had a situation where I was dealing with somebody, but anyway, you know, every now and then, you know these people that they're particularly Christian. That's the world I understand. But when you're Christian and you let your temper just go up and you talk to people in a nasty way, you need to realize the first person you push aside is the Holy Spirit. See? And that's somebody that you could not have purchased. We don't deserve him. You know, when I hear grace, it's by mercy we receive the Holy Spirit. We ain't merit no favor in that area. Amen. I mean, the fact that the seriousness of this covenant issue, you know, God give it to us, in steps so that hopefully that we will understand. You know, last week we talked about one aspect of the covenant when God had promised Abraham, amen, that his children, that he would, one, have children, because, you know, he was up in age, way up, older than I am now. And God promised him a child which he hadn't had. I mean, when you've been at something, you know, for 70 years, 75 years, and you know, and then God said you're going to have a child, you know, the reality of that is challenging. You know, but we talked about in the fact that how the Bible, how the Word says that Abraham believed God and God imputed it to him as righteousness. And this is recorded in both the Old and the New Testament. It is reiterated in Romans chapter 4. Amen. And, you know, we talked about the fact that a covenant agreement, you know, is different than a contract in that it has a binding based on faith and trust rather than legalities, okay? And it's different because one is like, again, it's that God intends for us to understand that he's the one to come to the table with all the riches, everything that we need. And the other thing, the main thing to understand is that unless you have this covenant, you're not entitled to what God offers. You know, if you get it, access to it, it is out of mercy and love because he is a compassionate person, but not because you're entitled. You know, let's read, just a refresher, you know, Genesis chapter 17 and verses 2, I'm going to start at verse 1. And actually what's significant about this is when his name is changed. You know, when God changes Abram, A-B-R-A-M, to Abraham. And it says, when Abram was 90 years old, 90 years old and 9. that's getting up there. The Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am Almighty God. Hallelujah. I am, walk before me, be thou perfect. Oh, man. And I will make my covenant between me and you and will multiply you exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be a father of many nations. Neither shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be called Abraham, for a father of many nations have I made thee. And I will make you exceeding fruitful, and I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. And I will make my covenant between me and you and your seed after you in their generations for an everlasting covenant to be God unto you and your seed after you. You know, I posted something. I can't exactly remember. I made a post about Israel concerning the land that they own and that they don't own all that they are going to own. And one person was concerned or expressed the fact that of all the Palestinians that have been displaced because of the Israel, modern-day Israel today, when they moved back to the land that God promised them. And the lives that were lost during the wars that was fought. Well, the reality is, this is the truth. What I just read you, and God, if you remember last week, God said he promised them that land. And if God said it, that's the end of it. You can appeal to the UN. And historically, I was listening to this teacher, and he showed historically that whenever a nation interfered with that, that nation came on the losing end. You know, most recently the British Empire. And one while they said that the sun never set on the British Empire. It was that far and reaching. It was larger than Rome had, the Romans had ever gotten. But once they turned their back, there's a historical documents on that, Once they turned their back on Israel, the empire began to shrink. See, this is, you know, I said last time, the first time I read in Genesis chapter 12, verse 2 and 4, where God said he will bless those that bless you and curse those that curse you. Now, I want to attach something to that so you understand, because I want you to understand this, even though that went back then, that was made back then by God, with the coming of Jesus, we have access to that covenant now. So I want to read right now in Galatians chapter 3, verse 27 through 29. It says, for us, and I'm reading, this is the KJV. For as many of you have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ, there is neither Jew nor Greek, neither bond nor free, neither male nor female, and you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you be Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. That's the good and the bad. In other words, if you curse a Christian, you're going to be cursed. If you bless a Christian, you're going to be blessed, because it's all linked together. Matter of fact, I want to read, if you read in Matthew chapter 1, and it's different because there are two genealogies of Jesus, and in Matthew chapter 1, it begins with Abraham. And it just reads, this is the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. And Abraham begat Isaac, and Isaac begat Jacob, and it goes on from there. Well, and take note of that, because, you know, I had been into this for years before I recognized that both of the other genealogy of Jesus began with Adam. Now, you would think they both would have started in the same place, but the difference is, and if you notice what we read in Galatians 3:29, that it links the covenant that God made with Abraham. It is directly linked to Jesus Christ. And when you look at the Abrahamic covenant, you see more of Christ in typology than you do the other covenants. You know, the historians and the theologians would tell you that in the Hebrew Bible, that almost every chapter in the Bible has some semblance of Christ in it. And, you know, that's a deep study. And I get that, because once you get into this word, you let God in and you let yourself be connected to him, he will saturate your spirit to the point that you know, reading the word become almost like traveling, not only through time, but throughout the universe. And you get to get inside the mind of God. You know, I was talking to somebody else, you know, about reading the word. I wish, you know, my wife, I wish I had a book on her, because the person I married is a different person now. Seeing God, when he started with Adam and how things evolved, you know, because you can read it. But women don't work that way. That's why God created love, because we're going to have to make some adjustments and some allowances. You have to understand that, again, you know, we use the term, you must be born again. That's in John chapter 3. And I'm not going to give you the verses, because you need to really read it and pray. And remember, as I say, don't read the Bible without praying. Ask God for a revelation. Don't read a book about the Bible without praying. Ask God for a revelation. Don't watch a video. You're watching this video, pause it if you didn't pray, and ask God to bless you with the revelation. Because the Holy Spirit conducts the conversation. You know, I have pages of notes that I might might get to one note out of the whole page. Most of the time I see it end up in a book somewhere, you know. But the point I'm trying to draw is because the reason right now, particularly at this time in history, accuracy concerning the power of God is critical. You know, we recently had here in the United States a hurricane come through named Ian, I-A-N, and it was devastating. Now, I know that the religious folk think God sent that as judgment for the sin, but then it didn't cross the whole nation. Because believe me, you know, it would be unjust to send it through just one part of the nation. When I mean, if it would have went anywhere because of sin, it should have dropped in, went straight up through the coast to Washington, D.C., where sin is made law, okay? But that didn't happen. Right now, right now, being accurate is critical. Now, several years ago, I heard two men of God, one of which was my pastor, and what God said to him was being, and he's repeated it several times, that being on the fence is no longer allowable or acceptable to God. It never really was. But, you know, people are, they tend to be half in, half out. But, and when he said that, he was saying about you, this time to get serious about this thing, because we are down to the last. You know, each day is really exciting, because I'm telling you, there's more happening. When I think this time, I'm finding out more things that have happened that I didn't know about, like the president signing off on taking America cashless, which is going to take the world cashless. He signed that in March 9th. 2021, it is 2022. So, and we know the impact of it, what that means for being in the last days. That's an event that's going to occur in the middle of the rapture. I mean, in the middle of the tribulation period, which means the rapture is so close to us, very close. And nothing is going to stop that, because these men think they have control. They had that delusion. So the point is being accurate. So when the Lord told him there's no more being half in and half out, sometime in, sometime out, being wishy-washy, the Holy Spirit told me the training wheels are off. And, you know, he began later on to relate how we have evolved. I mean, since I've been a Christian, I mean, I think I came in, I would say, at the end of the dark days of Christianity, when they were just still just being religious and not really taking the word, because very few, even today, a small percentage of Christians, sadly about 15%, really read and study the Bible, really take time and pray when there's a requirement in the word to do so. So the fact is that understanding the how things are laid out, when, you know, in Acts 17:30, it says, because of ignorance, God winked at sin, but that ain't the case no more. So now the reality of the Holy Spirit, who he is, what he does, has been well taught. If you choose to just be religious, you ought to suffer the consequences. You know, I was in a conversation with somebody, and I was telling them how I came across the knowledge of how God gave. I put the question to God, why did he let the devil exist when he knew he was nothing but a fool? And they brought up a situation where, and I remember the cases where these women had been held captive for 18 years, and he wanted to know why would God allow that. So I explained it to him. This is the issue. They either did not have a covenant with God, or their parents didn't have a covenant with God, or if they had one, but they were ignorant where the word is concerned on how it operates. bottom line, if you don't exit what's going on right now, going back to this hurricane that came through, I know one particular pastor, that's why I went around him. I noticed, I ain't going to call his name, but every time it's two or three of them, I know it's more, but that thing looped around them and went up the coast and came back in South Carolina. But it went around him because I know he knows more about this than I do. Amen. But at the same time, see, if you're not bold enough to stand out and speak against the prince of the power of the air, that's in Ephesians chapter 2, then you're going to get crushed by him. If God sent that, it would have went across the whole United States. Now, you can't tell me it didn't hit California. They called Nevada Sin City. California has been homo land since I can remember in the 70s, you know. I mean, it is, and that's the other thing. It didn't go across Nevada, even though they getting some things like. But what's happening there isn't because of the sin. It's because of the saints not praying, not activating, not standing on the word, and just letting themselves just go with the wind. You know, I just say what's on my mind. Well, you can go say what's on your mind, but the devil has been giving more leeway, and the only opposition will come from your mouth. If you don't challenge him, that, you know, I listened to a man asking God, and I'm like, you ain't going to get no answer. He ain't going to turn that hurricane away. He ain't. He's given us authority. The whole point of life. You can think what you think. You can believe what you believe, but I'm telling you, the consequences come with that, okay, is for us to understand how powerful God has made us. Acts 1:8, after that the Holy Ghost come upon you, you shall have power. Come on now. Let's look at what's going on in life. If either that's a lie or a cliche, or you need to understand what that's really about. And that's what I'm trying to detail, that this, we are classified as covenant people. You know, I still see people stuck on the fact of black Jews. It don't matter what color Jew you is. Jew just meant you believe in God. But if you don't, now, as far as this goes, if you believe God, there's going to be some first following action. You know, my pastor highlighted something, the five elements. He has a book out on it. You can go to Word of Faith, .cc website, and get a copy of it. Just Google it, five elements of faith. You got to hear the word, receive the word, believe the word, speak on the word, and act on the word. And if you don't, you're going to suffer the consequences right now. See, on God's end, he sees people coming through a door to heaven. He don't see the brutality. He can choose to do what he wants. It's like he don't smell people and hear people crying and whining in hell. You know, they chose not to come to heaven. I mean, you got to be real with this. Let's look at something. I want you to see a pragmatic event here. Mark chapter 7. I guess that's what I would call it. That means it's just serious. It is. It's called It Is What It Is. Okay? You know? It says in verse 25, it says, "For a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him and came and fell at his feet. And the woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation. And she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. But Jesus said unto her, Let the children," talking about the children of Israel, "first be filled. For it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it unto dogs." You see how specific he's being about that? Now, this is another person he's talking to. Okay? A person. Like, all that, it ain't personal. This is business, okay? Okay? "And she answered and said unto him, Yes, Lord, yet the dogs under the table eat the children the crumb. And he said unto her, For this saying, go your way, and the devil is going out of her daughter. Amen. And that's actually happened. But the point I want you to understand, that God is focused on his people. You know, one of the most noted scriptures is Second Chronicles 7:14, which says, if my people, let it begin. Look, it says, if my people, it didn't say if anybody, you know, there's a difference between whosoever and my people. That's specific. If my people who I call by my name humble themselves and pray, they can turn away a hurricane, a tsunami, earthquakes sneak up on you, but they can probably calm it down quicker than it does. I've said before, you know, I have a generator because the power company will cut my power off. You know, when they got to fix something, they'll cut it off. They'll even send me a text, we're getting ready to cut your power off, all right? But I will not let Satan just sweep up, send a wind and a perverted wind and cut me off. It I ain't having it. Because, see, a point is, and it's not, you could have gotten saved yesterday, but if you have the revelation of your authority, okay, by virtue of a covenant with God, that's what this is about. Once God declares something, that's what it is. See, you know, I mean, let's look at another aspect of this, okay? We got to go back and review it. Man, this thing is jumping all over the place. To go back to the original portion, let's which one I want. Genesis chapter 17. Okay, well, we was reading that. All right. Where my notes at? There we go. Genesis 17:9. I just want to bring out the fact of this little medical issue. It got started with Abraham. You know, it's something that I still don't have revelation of. Okay. But it is what it is. All right, so God told Abraham in Genesis 17, he said, I'm going to make you exceeding fruitful, and I will make nations out of these. That's an important point. It doesn't matter. Because what we read in Galatians 3:29, that clearly revealed that God has done, has set in motion that which he declared here with Abraham, that he was going to make a covenant with Abraham, and out of Abraham go come many nations, nationalities. Earlier he said he was going to make him rich, and he did. Abraham was very rich, which means you can go to heaven and be rich. That's verified in Luke chapter 16, verses 19 through 32, in that conversation between Diabetes, the rich man, and Abraham, the very rich man, and one is in hell, the other's in heaven, one is in paradise, the other is suffering. So it ain't an issue of being rich will end you up in hell. You know, it's about obeying God. That's the other thing. We're in good time. Okay, so God, right now, we're in Genesis chapter 17, verse 9, and God said to Abraham, you shall keep my covenant before you and your seed after me, meaning everybody got to do this, and this is what they had to do. This is my covenant which you shall keep between you, me and you, and your seed after you. Every man child among you shall be circumcised. You shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be a token of the covenant between me and you. And he that is 8 days old, once he born, shall be circumcised among you, every man child in your generation. And he that is born in the house or bought with money of a stranger, which is not of your seed, That's everybody, every man, child. In other words, today when we do circumcision, we do it primarily for medical reasons. But that's where it began as a covenant with God, you know, and it was a sign. And the challenge was, this is how people misinterpreted what women's role is, because women are not required to get circumcised. Therefore, if they're not circumcised, they have to be married to a man to be entitled to the blessings of God. And I don't want to go there to because there was, I can't think of the name right now, but there was a family where there were the man had no women, no son, and he had five daughters, and yet God entreated them to have property. anyway, so the point here is again, one of the key factors we talked about of a covenant is that there are aspects of it in that it provides, it makes provisions. With the covenant, you will have promises. You're going to have terms, things that you have to do. There will be blood. There will be blood. And it was a token or a seal. And in this case, that's what that was, you know, the token or the seal of the covenant. Now, you remember last week, Abraham, they shed blood of an animal. God gave him a list of creatures to split in half, and they did it. I was listening to a teacher on that, and he was talking about that is commonly called a death walk. You know, and what that meant was, once you made that covenant, if you didn't keep your end of the covenant, the person you had the covenant with had the right to keep you. Now, you remember God told Abraham to be perfect. You know, when I first saw that in the Bible, I'm like, this got to have, I heard somebody say, that just means to be mature. Yeah, right. No, it means that. It means that. But what it does mean, if you get out of alignment with God, get right back in. One thing you'll learn about God is he don't want excuses. Okay? Well, Lord, I only did that because. No, listen. Just say, Lord, I did that. It was done. Forgive me. And go on about your way. And that has become, we're going to see when we get into the Mosaic covenant that it was, how egregious violations are. But yet and still, they're still egregious, but the process in dealing with them is a lot simpler it's a lot simpler now than it was back then. Okay, so we're moving on here. We're doing good. All right, and again, like I said, this is a covenant because God loves us. And you got to think about this, because you're 3,000 years in now, and you would have thought that Abraham would have been the father of Jesus Christ, or that Jesus would have been born through Sarah. So, but God wanted to draw a picture to emphasize how great of an event this is, and we still don't get it. We still don't get it. You can tell by the reaction, how little people really regard the name of Jesus, because that is so significant. Without him, I mean, you're talking about eternal life or eternal damnation. And so, To draw a picture of how serious, think about that, even this circumcision. Now they had circumcision back when they hadn't even come up with, I think, laudanum. That didn't come for another 1,500 years. You know, I'm sure somebody thought of some type of pain reliever, but they had to deal with it. They probably drank some wine. That's generally what they did with, you know, but you couldn't do that with the kids. It just had to deal with the pain. I don't remember my circumcision, thank God. It was in the hospital when I was born. All right? So, again, I'm trying to draw the picture of the fact that you are particular. As God will later on say, you know, you're a peculiar person. You are different. And you have to understand, Satan sees you rapture. Demons will be able to roam the earth in a way they haven't roamed the earth since before Christ. You know, I was sharing with somebody the other day that we were talking about these other gods that used to exist, Zeus and Neptune and all them, and they disappeared when the Holy Spirit came into the earth. You ain't heard about them. You don't hear from them. You know, it's a few people that try to have their own little religious ideologies, try to bring them up, but the reality is they don't exist no more. Okay? So, again, like I said, we are special. You know, at the end I talk about the fact that, you know, God, prayer is God trusting you with his power. All this is connected. All this is directly connected. Now, like I say, if you we want to look at something, this is not a major issue, but let's go to Genesis chapter 16, back a chapter, and it was an event that occurred. Let's go back. Go back. Now, Abraham had been promised a child. And this is very significant because what this is, Abraham's life and relationship as far as having a child is a supernatural event. He's 99, his wife 90, you know, which is a good idea for a young man getting married. But don't, if you 20, don't be dating no 10-year-old. Wait till you 30. Okay? But anyway, Abraham, you know, it's typical. When God makes you a promise, and he does, you know, we one of the challenges you'll find in our lives is that we don't like, because when Satan found out that debt was bondage, you know, he knew it a long time. But once he got society to agree to it, it became a major thing. And I remember when particularly African Americans, you know, were not given credit. They had to pay cash for everything. They generally didn't have 30-year mortgages. They bought homes on land contracts. The house I grew up in, my father bought it on a land contract. And that meant in 7 years, the house was paid for. And I remember him hustling. He hustled hard to get it done. Because if you don't get it done, you had what you didn't get done during the 6 years, in that last 6 months, you had to come up with the balance or you'd lose the whole deal. And so they got it done. You know, I mean, that man was working two jobs. I mean, he was hustling. He was doing everything he could. Because he was, and at the same time, what I witnessed, what was bringing that about was my mother was praying every day. And God brought it to pass. Like I said, I never was homeless, you know. We never got evicted, you know. I don't, they never saw a foreclosure notice, okay. So bottom line is, what I'm saying is, one of the things that we have to learn in this life is to utilize the fruit of the Spirit that most people don't like. It's called patience. You know, as they say, live within your means. But you can believe God. God will give you, because of your relationship, he will give you a means or a revelation to accomplish what you want to accomplish. See, we you know, I remember my daughter went to college, and these people was in the college on the grounds, and it was a bunch of them set up where they were giving kids $10,000 credit cards day one, and they didn't even have a job. And at the time, I had a job, and they wouldn't even give me one that big. You know, mainly because I guess they figured you ain't gonna get too deep into debt, no way. You know, believe me, they don't treat you right. But bottom line is this. If God made you a promise, you can count on it. And that's what we can see. So now we're going to watch something here with Abraham. God promised him a son. Remember we read back that I believe in chapter 14, 15, that God promised him a son. He said, what will you give me? Because then I have no children. So naturally, the human part of us go to work. And we start trying to help God and create a mess. So what we got here Let's read here in Genesis chapter 16. It says, and now, you know, I want to read this in a little bit different. Give me a minute here. I like this modern technology. I had a friend of mine, he used to hate this stuff. But, you know, technology doesn't change the word of God. It does not change it. It says, and now Sarah, Abram's wife, this was before he changed, God changed his name, had borne him no children, and she had an Egyptian maidservant whose name was Hagar. And so Sarah said to Abram, see now the Lord has restrained me from bearing children. Please go into my maid, and perhaps I shall obtain child by her. Okay, let me finish reading this. And Abraham heeded the voice of Sarah. Now, come on, you're going to tell a man at 99 years old that he can go, you're going to permit him to go get with this young woman? And it was acceptable back then. It's something that I was taught that was called God's permissive will. It wasn't like, you know, he wasn't going to condemn them for us, but he didn't advocate for it, you know. And actually, I'm going to leave that alone because there's enough drama going on. I'm going to leave that to the higher level. But bottom line is, you know, that took something. You know, so I mean, I was taught to think about what they are going through psychologically. Because when you read the Psalms, you're reading what people were experiencing psychologically in the pressure. The book of Job is really intriguing when you think about what he was actually feeling. I mean, you know, that's challenging when you're under pain and pressure. Last year, May 31st, I broke my hip roller skating, and I had to have a complete hip replacement. Boy, at that initial break, man, that was painful, you know, and I was telling God, I'm like, you know, you can, a miracle right now is okay with me, you know, so you really begin to see, but it's the reasoning that I believe is behind that is so that when we go to third gen, man, after the tribulation period and we have to deal with humans, understand what's going to happen. We're going to transition to third gen, man. This is what happens when a Christian die right now. They become, even a non-Christian, the only part with a non-Christian is they don't get to go to heaven. But a Christian in heaven is third gen, meaning that they can teleport, they can do all the things that Jesus did. They don't just walk around. They're not sitting there bored. They've traveled the universe. They've seen some things that we're going to see. Okay, that's a tremendous power. Again, you got to look at the fact that, I mean, the simplicity of what's going on. It's amazing, astounding. As I'm talking, I'm releasing vibrations, but your ears are picking them up. You know, and there are people that are unable to do both, unable to talk and unable to hear. And that is where the spirit has to gain control over those parts of the body that control that aspect. My spirit sends my brain, trillions of signals in 250 millionths of a second to cause the muscular reaction for my voice to articulate the words coming out, and they're causing vibrations in the air that's making sounds, and then your ear picking them up and breaking and analyzing. That's just a glimpse at how intelligent your spirit is, how fast it can comprehend. That, you know, this is why I don't understand people suffering from low self-esteem, particularly a Christian, because you have the Holy Spirit. And that's yet another level. You know, I was looking yesterday at these nuclear bombs they got now and how devastating they is. But yet, you know what? We got more power within us than all they nuclear, than the whole nuclear arsenal together. I don't, you know, and I know people think, I only know one person that agree with me on that. I know people, they'll probably say amen, but the reality of how powerful that is why God go through all this dramatic. If it was, Why go through all this? Why go through all this if it isn't that significant? If we are not, if it isn't about the fact that we don't understand God-level power, we got it with a small g. And even with a small g, being co-nition, co-nipotent, and co-depresent, we still, we have tremendous power. We do, we do. This is why God wants us to recognize. All this says, when you talk about covenant, is you need to recognize I am God. And there is no other. All right? And that's what it's about. It's about, and see, we have to learn. So you get to see our shortcomings versus his ability. See, despite the fact that we possess a lot, you know, men relate to all the scientific discoveries that man has made. Man, listen, everything, if we put all our minds together, we still are less than an idiot compared to God. He is omniscient is off the scale. Smartest person on earth has an IQ of 2049 the last time I read. That flips and flops. But I know that a low-level angel is around 2,500. Outside of your body, you have no limit. I'm telling you, you really got to look at the details. You really got to look at the details. And don't take my word for it, obviously. Consult God about it, okay? So anyway, what you got here is Abraham, Sarah, you know, decided that she going to help God out and let Abraham go and sleep with this young woman. And the woman got pregnant, okay? And it says, and look this term, it says, then Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her handmaiden, and the Egyptian, and gave her to her husband to be his wife. All right? You know, in my book, I relate to the fact that when you have sex with a person, you're marrying them. Okay? The marriage license is basically a property document. Okay? The act of having sex with somebody is marrying them. But we're going to see some of that when we get into the Mosaic Covenant next week. Okay? The fact of the matter is, but she called him a wife. So I don't want to deal with a whole lot of that, but the fact of the matter is that's what happened. Okay? It wasn't an act of what we would normally call fornication. And the fact that they agreed with it, God hadn't outlawed it yet. Okay? There's a lot of things God hadn't outlawed. You know, I'm not going to get into all that, but if you read the Bible, you got to read it with, like I said, with courage and faith, because it gets off into some deep stuff, you know. Bottom line is, all right, so I want to, what we got on time here? Oh, yeah, we got enough time. All right, so Sarah then gave Abraham permission to sleep with his her handmaid, which you know he did, you know. he didn't even, they didn't say nothing that he even, you sure, Sarah? He didn't even ask. They're like, okay. All right. And it says, so she did that. So, and it says, so he went into Hagar. I know he did. And she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress became, Sarah became despised in her eyes. And actually, see, again, you got to, when you understand Satan, which is very little of conversation talked about him, what he does, and what he did was one, he talked her into doing that. Now, understand, he will do this to you. He will talk you into doing something, then aggravate you after you have done it. You know, I've seen him repeatedly talk young men into committing crime, then tell them, and then aggravate them and depress them while they're locked up in jail. He is not your friend. Sin ain't your friend. Satan ain't your friend. Amen. It says, okay, so what we got, Abraham that slept with Hagar, and I think I just want to skip down to, and so Abraham slept with Hagar. Hagar gets pregnant. Now Sarah regrets that she's done that. She's trying to bring forth a promise, but God said that she was going to have a baby, and I know that's got to be challenging, you know. And what I was talking about earlier is if you believe in God for a new car, believe God, you know, ask God to show you his process for you getting to where you, how you can achieve that goal. You know, I found that you can buy cars, and say like you buy a car, say you got $2,000, and you go buy a $2,000 car, and you get it, you fix it up, and then you sell it for $3,000, okay? And then you go buy a $3,000 car. And it's a book called by C.J. Richardson, I believe. It's called Becoming a Millionaire God's Way. And he goes through the same process that's mentioned in Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 through 18, but I'm not going to talk about that. But it's, you know, it's how to get 100% return on each deal you made, all right? So, but it's a process in any case. And understand, you want to deal with God in that aspect, because it's not only about you just getting the car. The process is about you learning to hear from God. I link everything to learning to hear from God, because that's what's going on right here. Understand, remember, Abraham came from another culture with knowing one God, just, you know, that you could talk to and relate to wasn't what he was taught growing up, you know. Anyway, so now, you know, this dispute that broke out with Abraham, with Abram and Sarah. So Abraham, anyway, Sarah, so now this jealousy is between between Sarah and Hagar, you know, old woman versus young, you know, like, you know, I had your man, and you know how they gossip. Anyway, it says, so Sarah went to Abram about this issue, because naturally it was vexing her, because I know the devil was vexing her over the issue, and then Abraham said, whatever you do, you do. So Sarah started treating Hagar, you know, dog and owl. You know, this is in Genesis chapter 16, verse 6 and 7. And it says, so she done ran out of the camp, naturally. You know, she wanted to get off from under the drama. And so when she's out there and, you know, feeling bad, and now it says, now the angel of the Lord found her. This is in Genesis 16:7. Now the angel of the Lord found her by a spring of water in the wilderness, by the spring on the way to Shur. And he said, Hagar, where have you come from and where are you going? And she said, I am fleeing from the presence of my mistress. And the angel of the Lord said to her, return to your mistress and submit yourself under her hand. And then the angel of the Lord said to her, I will multiply, this is a messenger from God, I will multiply your descendants exceedingly so that they shall not be counted for a multitude. Now, I was reading the commentary on that. Those of you that don't know, the Arab people, okay, it speaks of the Arabian people. They are direct descendants of Ishmael. And because they are direct descendants of Ishmael, who is a actual child of Abraham, God keeps the promise to them. And this is why you see those that you see prospering do so. It's because God made a promise to Abraham. And there's another aspect of God being able to keep a promise that he made. Okay? Even though they're not the chosen one. The dispute you see over the land of Israel presently today, the hatred between the Arabs and the Jews over there, is the result of this act right here. And it has remained. It's going to get resolved. It's going to get resolved, and Israel will have the land, all the land that God promised to them. Okay? But the point of this matter is this, I just wanted to bring that out. And the same thing applies. See, we're in a group together. You know, if you don't let the devil, even though he uses people, talk you into hating them. that, you know, they're his people. Because when you do that, this is what I believe, and it's shown itself. Just that the promise of blessing have manifested itself. That's why they have such oil-rich nations. Okay. Well, the curse would apply. That applies with anybody. You can hate a sinner, and God, and you're gonna bring a curse on yourself. You can't. You never want to let yourself get out of alignment with the Word of God. Put that on hold. Okay. Let God deal with them. If they wrong, let God deal with them. You get do everything according to the Word of God. You never want to put, particularly now, you don't want to put yourself outside of the power of God. Okay? And I just wanted to bring that point out. And it says some other things, but, you know, right now it's about being fine-tuned. So the point is that God established a covenant. He keeps his covenant. He's going to keep his word. There's lots of teaching on that. But the only thing, the takeaway that I want you to have is that God made the deal. Next we're going to read about Isaac, how he comes into play, and what went down, and how Isaac is representative of Jesus in a typology. And then from there we're going to move on to the Mosaic covenant, which basically is a way of God clearly identifying his kingdom, his nation, and the laws and rules that go with that. Because like right now, there are laws in different countries and even in America that God don't agree with. And as a result, what is going to happen, I just recently heard a prophetic word that what decisions we make this year, God is going to respond to them. Now, there's a difference when God responds. COVID was, I believe, a God response. It went worldwide, okay? And nothing can stop it except for the prayers of the righteous. And there were people pleading and interceding. Otherwise, it would have kept on killing. See, that you haven't met, you know, there are very few moves of God. But when he moves, just like the flood covered the whole world, when he moves. And it was to get the body of Christ's attention. And you know, it's sad that it didn't. You know, just like the flood. Right after the flood, less than 1,000 years, they had created all types of false religion. And God had to go and make a deal with Abraham and bring him to the light of the word. Anyway. Well, anyway, I hope you heard something. And I ask you right now, if you've never made a decision to have a covenant with God, now is your opportunity. So just say this prayer with me. Lord God in heaven, I may not understand all this, but I believe it on your word, and I believe it by faith. And I believe you sent your son to die for me. And I ask right now that you forgive me for my sin. And I ask you, Lord Jesus, to come into my heart and to save me now. And I say with my mouth and I believe in my heart that I am saved, I am born again, and I am forgiven. Amen. You know, I tell you, it's a marvelous life. But, you know, pray and ask God to establish that, because bottom line, all it says is if you can believe God, you can believe God. God made a deal, and he keeps his word. And remember this, prayer is God trusting you with his power. Prayer works by faith, faith works by love, and God is love. Shalom. Be blessed. See you next week.
Oh, I like to use my brain for you, and use it to write songs for you. You're getting all of the best of me, 'cause I'm giving all of the best of me. Oh, love, my heart's only built for two. You won't wear me out 'cause I'm the perfect shoe. You're getting all of the best of me, 'cause I'm giving all of my best. Thank you. You turn on the truth in me. You light up my heart with possibility. I'm getting everything I need, 'cause you're giving everything to me. You are forever in my destiny, woven into it like a tapestry. Your love is everything to me, 'cause you're giving everything.